Hey everyone, it's Sonia here. How are you today? Welcome, welcome, welcome. I have a very special edition for you today. It is another heart to heart. So for those that have landed from, a different profile or from searching, a heart to heart means there's a video component and that can be found with the same episode number up on my YouTube channel. So it's great because you get to see the facial expressions, the way we connect with one another, and that feeling of our vibe follows through with you too. It's like you can't help but smile when someone smiles back. That's exactly what this episode's about today, giving some of our younger listeners hope in an area that we don't talk about very much because let's be honest, we take it for granted unless we're walking through it ourselves. So, Erica, will you please take some time and introduce yourself?
I'm Erica Hoke. I'm a fertility coach, and I came to be a fertility coach because I went through my own infertility journey and at 35 was told that I couldn't do IVF, which was my backup plan, and that I had less than a 1% chance of getting pregnant and then I would need donor eggs. And so I wasn't ready to make that leap. Before I did everything that was within my power to make health changes to improve my fertility and see if I could get pregnant naturally.
So were you, let's go back to the beginning. Were you, what would you say your shape and size were at that point when you were starting your fertility journey without
Yeah.
knowing?
Without knowing. Well, it's kind of a loaded question on honestly, because I knew I was going to have problems getting pregnant, or I kind of made that assumption because I had seven reproductive, what I call like reproductive inhibiting diagnosis. So I can't ever remember them all at the same time, but I had stage four endo that I had had surgery for. I had uterine fibroids, I had ovarian cysts, I had PCOS, I had thyroid d disease, I had something called factor five Leiden. So IVF was always my backup plan, and I never kind of took it for granted, that I was going to have an easy time of it just because I had all this dysfunction and disease in my body. But to answer your question, I was a healthy size and weight. Gosh, I think at that time I was like a size four probably,
Okay.
which I'm only 5'6". So, yeah, I just had a lot of inflammation in my body and a lot of overlooked things that the doctors didn't address that once I started, going through the process of learning what affects your fertility, I was able to change and to turn around.
So outside of your diagnoses, and there was a lot of them, which
Yes.
gave you pretty much a red light moving forward. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights, where, you can go because it's a green light. In your case, you had red light after red light after red light.
Yeah.
And you shared with us that you were a size four. So would you have thought that you had had that much inflammation inside of you? There's two parts. And then would you have thought that you could fix it on your own?
So I didn't think that I was, I guess the buy-in for me was after the doctors told me that I had less than a 1% chance, I kind of rejected that like all or nothing approach. And I said to myself, that I didn't believe that I was that sick. I would have told you at the time that I was eating a air quote, pretty good, diet. I was having, salads occasionally or whatever, but it was really a standard American diet full of, a lot of the things that we know now cause inflammation in the body, like seed oils and, pesticides in our food and hormone and endocrine disruptors in our body. And on top of that, I had a history of trauma. So One of the things that I help my clients recognize and work through also is it's actually twofold. Infertility in itself is trauma. For your listeners that might not know anybody that has gone through infertility, every single month that you get your cycle, it's like a death because you're hoping that that's going to be a baby that month. On top of actual miscarriages, failed procedures, and just disappointment after disappointment. And so dealing with the trauma of infertility is so important as part of your healing journey. But then I also had, history of sexual abuse and trauma and things like that. So I needed to address all of that in order to heal every part of me in order to get pregnant.
How long of a journey was that?
So, healing is not linear.
Oh my goodness, my daughter, my
So,
youngest daughter told me that for the first time ever 2 years ago. And you and I are in the profession of taking people from one place to another in tandem to make sure that, they get to that place.
right.
And my daughter, who would have been 21, 22 at the time, looked at me and said, Mom, healing's not linear. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I thought I was on an upward trajectory, and she slammed me with that, but gosh, there's so much truth to that.
I mean, it's layers, right? And you get a little stronger because you get educated in this area, and I my first diagnosis was my stage four endo, which was after 12 years, which is about average for endometriosis. It takes about 12 years to get an actual diagnosis. But I was also doing talk therapy at that point and doing other things along the way that were putting me in a place mentally to help myself, if that makes sense. So,
Yes.
once I was told that I couldn't do IVF and I kind of doubled down on anything holistic that was in my control, I think that this is the question that you were asking. It was about 18 months until I got pregnant for the first time.
Okay. Yes and no. I kind of wanted to know, like, did you notice the healing process? In my experience, the healing process doesn't stop. It's, yeah, would you say the same for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes the healing, I just want to say this, is not just for you. I can't be, I have to appreciate where I've come from as far as my infertility journey. And I know as hard as this might be here to hear from a listener who is going through their own infertility journey, I would be a much sicker mom today raising my children, and my family would not be as well because they have the same genetics. So doing the same things that I was doing would just create more dysfunction and disease in my family. So I have to be grateful that I'm able to have learned what to do to reduce inflammation, and take control of your own health, be responsible for your own health, because I'm able to now pass that along to my own family.
Well, not just your family, but your audience and
Community.
your other people audiences, now your bigger community. And a lot of it is shared with what you don't share. If that makes sense. I'm gonna say it again. It's a bit of a mind warp, but a lot of healing is done in the areas that we don't share, but yet it comes out of us through light. It comes out of us through ideas. It comes out of us through love. And so we might not see it. It just passes through us, where throughout the healing process, it could have gotten stuck and stagnant. Right? And then I don't know about you and where you're, I can tell you how I am contributing to my inflammation. And that is because I'm an emotional person. I'm an emotional eater. I'm an emotional spender. Once you know that, you can work with that, but you can't work with that on any journey that you're on until you admit it. Right? So you said 18 months to have your first pregnancy or baby. Tell us more.
Let me think about that for a second. 18 months for the pregnant for me to get pregnant, and then I got pregnant 27 months later with a set of twins. And then 27 months after that, I got pregnant again. Very much to my surprise, we lost a second set of twins. And then 27 months after that, I got pregnant with my last son, who was born just before I turned 43.
Okay, so how many children do you have?
I have four sons.
Four sons,
And
and
the
one of them's a set of twins.
yeah.
And you lost a set in between. Did you only gonna sound awful, and it's gonna sound
No, I
wrong.
understand.
There is
Yeah.
no right way of anybody asking this, and I am curious for our listeners. Did you just lose the one set of twins, or were there more?
Right. So this is something in the infertility world that is kind of a dig for people, right? No one wants to experience miscarriage, but if you don't know if you can get pregnant, it's really hard to, process that month after month. So I never had any miscarriages until I got pregnant with my first son. And one of the conditions that I have is a blood clotting disorder. And so I know why I lost my second set of twins. And unfortunately, it was just neglect of getting proper medical care quick enough. It was just like a perfect storm of circumstances where when I got my positive pregnancy test, it was the office was closed and it was a 4-day weekend. And it was like all of this kind of, and the fact that it was twins, I needed the medicine on board faster than they could get it to me. So, to answer your question, no, that was my only loss. Never to diminish anybody's, anybody's miscarriages, because it is truly a horrible experience to go through.
Well, and you said it best when you said it not that long ago. There is trauma in infertility. There
Yeah.
is trauma in wanting more kids, and all of a sudden something's not working, or you keep on
Right.
losing a bunch in between. And if you don't have time to heal, it has a huge impact. Like, did you give yourself enough time to heal in between?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would say for a number of different reasons, that pregnancy that I ended up losing was such a shock, right? I mean, I went from going through infertility to getting pregnant when I had a 3-year-old, two 17-month-olds, and then I'm now pregnant again, which would, if you would have done that math, I would have had a 4-year-old, two 2-year-olds and two newborns. Like it was such an odd and overwhelming feeling, with this unexpected pregnancy, certainly welcomed, but just kind of came out of left field, so to speak. So, again, all of those experiences teach you something about life and something about yourself. And I'm definitely able to connect on a much deeper level with my clients, because of that. And, just God working it out, right?
Well, and
So,
that's what came to mind, right? Is you have to trust that there's a bigger picture. You have to trust that
yeah.
there's something bigger guiding you through this, just as we do with coaches, right? Guiding you through, but at the
Yeah.
other end, there's a beautiful story. So I would imagine it is much easier to share details one-on-one with somebody as they're going through it
Yeah.
versus on a larger platform like this. But what you do share is so valuable, because if the people listening to this between our two audiences, I might have, believe it or not, some of the parents of the kids trying to
Yeah.
get pregnant. And now they've got a greater understanding as to what to say or what they're going through. It is a loss.
Yeah,
It is
it absolutely
traumatic.
is a lot. Yeah. Yeah. And, people in their in their own selves try to be helpful, say, it was early, or thank goodness it was so early, or you can try again, or any of the things that people say when they find out someone's had a miscarriage. But honestly, when you're trying month after month, it is for sure, in the mind of the woman going through the infertility process, a loss, a death. Just call it what it is.
Yeah, it is.
And part of the reason that I connected with these other authors to write my infertility success series was not only for the women going through infertility who don't want to be on social media, don't want to see the birth announcements and the pregnancy announcements and all the things. They just are completely off of the plat off of all social media so that they had resources. But it's also such a valuable resource to families who have loved ones who are going through infertility, because I'm sure that most of them wouldn't imagine, as one of the authors said, that she encouraged her husband to divorce her, to leave her and go find somebody that could give him a child, because she felt so broken and so ashamed and so frustrated that she wanted her husband to be happy. She felt like he was going to be a great dad. And I think that that depth of despair really doesn't get communicated. You don't want to walk up to your in-laws or to your own parents and say, "This is this is the depth of my despair about the fact that I can't get pregnant. The fact that we can't get pregnant is that I think that they should go and find somebody else that can, make them a father." So, it's really helpful perspective, about the whole process, but also like the really deep underlying emotional issues that happen behind the scenes that usually don't get spoken out loud.
And there's got to be so much of that. Do you teach your audience how to work through those emotions?
Yes, absolutely. I have my own practices that I go through with them, and then I also partner with an EFT tapping professional, and she walks them through different exercises based on the emotion that they're feeling. And then I also have an AFT practitioner that comes in and does the same thing. So people have different modalities that they can do that's not talk therapy, because honestly, like I had my own experience with talk therapy. Talk therapy is good for a lot of different things, but in this particular, in the case of infertility, it's not that great. It's almost re-traumatizing. So you really need to process the emotions in real time. And I like to call them my pocket tools, because let's be real, like you're out there working and you get your period, you go to the bathroom, you get your period, you got to go back to your desk, or you got to go cry in your car. What we don't want to happen for those women that are having those kind of experiences is for them to stuff all that emotional upheaval in, I always say, stuff that 800-pound gorilla back in his cage. We don't want that happening time and
No.
time again. We want her to be able to go to her car, lock herself in a stall in the bathroom, use the tapping to kind of help her body calm down and reset and not, suppress all of that emotional energy that's happening in that moment.
I love that. And then so you share different tools then and different modalities that might work for different people.
That's right. Yep. And things like strike through journaling and just different things like that. So,
But new twists on old tools.
yeah.
Maybe, well, that's what we'll call the title. Is there any tools that you would recommend right now?
I not tools per se, just the books are a great resource. I can't think of any tools. Yeah.
Nothing like being caught off guard. So,
I
do you have your book handy there that you can show us?
do. I was trying to fix my background for all of your here. We were talking earlier about tech issues. Let me see what I can do
Yeah.
here. I don't know if I can. Hold on just a second. I'll hop off.
Oh, you were attached to your computer.
Yeah.
Only because we're watching. Only because
Very,
we're
very
all.
elegant. Very
Right?
elegant today. We're seamless. Everything is seamless.
Such is life. Anybody that's listening is still listening. Infertility
Yeah.
success. I love it. I love it.
So
Okay.
let me see if I can
And
get it without it blurring out, but that's it. And it's a four-part series, actually. There's infertility success, stories of help and hope for your journey, and then there's more stories for your journey. So each of the books cover areas that I really wanted to shine a light in those dark areas where people feel shame, they feel like they can't say these things out loud. But also the books are not really told from the lens of just us telling our memoirs, like, that's great, we went through it. What does it mean to the reader? Well, what it means to the reader is we really stopped and said, man, I wish somebody had told me this right now before I took this test or did this procedure. I wish I had this information. I wish I knew to ask the doctor this. So I'll show you since I hopped off and got the book out. There are tips through each of the chapters, you know, where they can stop. There's QR codes in the back of every chapter. So if you connect with that author, you can reach out to them directly. So it really is a tool not only for someone going through the process of infertility, but you know, a resource for those families as well.
And we're going to have
So,
those links included in our show notes for anybody listening.
okay, great.
We'll make sure. So, Erica, if you haven't sent those, just send them on your way after, and we'll make them easily accessible for the fingertips, because for the fingertips of our listeners. Because I want to circle back. It sounds to me like you're not the only author in the book.
That's right. These are collaborations of variety of number of authors from 20 some to you know, just a variety of numbers. But book three is about infertility success. It's called Infertility Success, the Postpartum Mess, the Truth That No One Tells You. And that is the emotional fallout of an infertility journey into early motherhood, where you know the mom thinks the whole time she's pregnant that the baby's gonna die, that she's gonna die in childbirth, the baby's gonna die in childbirth, and then there's this hypervigilance, and a lot of that is from the unresolved emotional trauma of the infertility journey. And so it's also, you know, the shame of not being able to say to her peers, here she is again, separated from her peers who got pregnant easily, who, you know, motherhood came easily, and they can say, oh, the baby's not sleeping, the baby's not eating, the baby's not doing this. This is, oh my goodness. But people treat women with infertility like that baby is a magic wand. Poof, you have a baby now. Everything that you went through is all done. None of the trauma matters. Your six figures of debt, you know, don't matter. None of that counts. You have a baby. You're the lucky one. You should be grateful. And it's really a very shameful place because we know motherhood's hard, right? And they wanted this baby so desperately, but now again, they feel ashamed. They feel isolated. They feel separated, and they feel alone. So the books, I just can't say enough. Like, I don't want anybody to feel like they're alone.
Well, and that's the key.
Yeah.
This might be particularly towards infertility, but take that one piece, and the only piece right now, out of the equation. The sense of not feeling alone is for everybody. You
Yeah.
don't want to be keeping that to yourself. It's not safe to be keeping that to yourself. And I would see how it especially holds true for this, because feeling alone when you have a newborn, yes, of course, that's postpartum, but like you're saying, in your case, when it comes to infertility, it almost trumps, having that baby trumps everything else. So
Yeah.
they a lot of people, unless they've walked a mile in your shoes, wouldn't know to check in outside of
Yeah.
regular postpartum,
Yeah.
if they even check in with that. Like, yeah, it took
Yeah.
my
That's
daughter.
a whole
Well, that's
separate
why
discussion.
I was gonna say it took my oldest daughter. She just admitted this year, over 2.5 years, to get over the birth of her son. She wants another baby, but she admittedly said she was sitting in a depression for 2.5 years, and we may have guessed,
Yeah.
but I don't think anybody outright asked. And This is your cue. Check in a little bit deeper because people are really good at hiding or showing up just enough so you
Yeah.
leave them alone. And that's
And the
probably the case.
expectation on, yeah, the expectation on new moms is tremendous, right? Just get back in the workforce or get back out there or just act like you didn't just have a baby.
Well, you're in the States too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here in Canada, thank goodness. When I had my first baby, it was 6 weeks mat leave. My second baby went to 6 months, but I wasn't working, so it didn't really matter at that point. I didn't go back between my two. And then my third baby, it was like a year. But when my daughter just got the ticket, it went from a year to 18 months of mat leave or parental leave, but not all countries are like that.
And again, it's this terrible double-edged sword for women going through infertility because a lot of times their infertility coverage came from their employer. A lot of times they've had to pay out of pocket so that there's zero opportunity for them to take only the minimum amount, which if you're lucky in the States, you get 6 weeks paid. Sometimes up to 3 months, but you hardly ever hear. It's a little bit better now. I guess there's some other companies that will do 6 months maternity leave, but a lot of these women don't have the opportunity because of the journey itself and the expense of it. Again, some of that's changing for the better, with coverage and things like that, but
But still, that's got to be a qualifier for a lot of people to get fertility help.
Pressure cooker situation.
100%. And the same thing of being all things, once that baby's born and you're back at it, you are expected to silently be all things. Be the mother, be this, be that, but just do each role independent of the other without any crossover feelings or emotions. And how long does that last, Erica?
Well, that lasts forever. We know we're moms,
I
right?
meant the
So,
feelings before we explode. But yeah, we do
oh,
explode after
yeah.
a while. We do say something after
Yeah.
a while, or something drops, and hopefully it's not
Yeah.
your baby.
Yeah.
I only dropped
Yeah.
mine once. Actually, in all fairness, of my three kids, I dropped one. We did hip hip hooray. It was at the end of like a circle, and on the
Yeah.
third time I didn't catch her because my water broke for my second one. And
Oh my gosh.
then I would say for dropping your first, but that's like the only reason. We identify being mothers at such a young age. How did that impact your journey?
I think that that's a very complicated answer for me. I don't know if I could unravel that for your readers or your listeners, because of how complicated my childhood was.
And
I
that's
wanted, I knew I wanted to be a mom from a very young age. And I think it was just that because I didn't have good parental connections. And so I think that I did truly know and want to be a mom and want to do better, right? And have my own family so that I could feel connected in a deeper way than I did when I was when I was a child. That's the
And
most uncomplicated way that I can answer that
no,
question.
that me and it's a great answer because not everybody falls into the cookie cutter, and that's where I was going with my response was, and I'm glad you answered it the way you did, because that connects with the people who have a different upbringing, and it also opens the doors to the fact that you had mentioned. Like a stronger connection, a deeper connection. And again, I would say that's personal from person to person, what leads them through this. What is one of your biggest takeaways of having the journey that you're on? Like, can you sit here now and say this all happened for a reason?
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
And now,
100%.
what point in your journey were you, was it your wake up call? Like, this is all, because I'm sure you spent more than your fair time in tears and looking at your bank
Oh,
account wondering
absolutely.
how are we going to do this and
Yeah.
trusting into God. So yeah, how magical does that feel?
It's still pretty like unbelievable. Which is kind of how I ended up sitting here, is because I would tell my story to people and they were like, no, that can't be true. Like, that didn't happen. You didn't have all of those things reproductively wrong with you and still got pregnant on your own. And I was like, no, but I did. And this is how I did it. I know exactly what I did. So I think that it's what has driven me to coach and to share my stories and to share, not only my story, but the author's story and the books and stuff, because people need to know how much is in their control and that they can take responsibility for it, that they can impact their own health, that they can ask questions and not be viewed as a nuisance to the medical community, that they owe it to themselves to grow in this area of self-advocacy.
Yeah, I can see that. We're afraid to
And
use our.
for me, and maybe this is like a little nugget for me at the end of this conversation, not having a voice as a child, going through sexual abuse as a child, being very disconnected, and I do say that I was raised by wolves. that like me having this voice now is the gift of that process. It's like the bow on the whole thing that has transpired, meeting the infertility journey and the whole process is me being able to have a voice for those who have not learned and are not strong enough yet to speak up for themselves and create that kind of advocacy.
Yeah, it's so important. We don't advocate for ourselves. I'm one that doesn't advocate the way I should. I know that. My voice gets a little quiet. As good as I am, my voice gets a little quieter if there's one more question and I feel like I'm wasting somebody's time. But we can't go there. We can't do that, especially if we're looking for. If we're working just as hard or harder than the medical community to get our own answers,
Yeah.
that speaks volumes. And when it comes to healthy eating, how much of that changed your results?
It's hugely impactful. Egg quality is not fixed. We are all born with all the eggs that we will ever have. One of the things that I didn't mention, I always forget to say that I had diminished ovarian reserve. It's the reason that they could not do a retrieval and they couldn't do a IVF. And even with diminished ovarian reserve at 43, I still had an egg good enough to produce a child, and so taking the toxins out of our food, our diet, and focusing on, quality organic proteins. One of the things that I focus on in my with my clients is doing that on a budget, because man, talk about overwhelming. That whole thing is overwhelming, but label reading and making choices and what that looks like and why our labeling is so messed up and, so deceptive, so I'm looking for another word that I can't find right now, but it's so deceptive, so just learning that I think is very eye-opening to people as well. But yes, your diet 100% matters. Even if your doctor told you it doesn't matter, it for sure does.
And again, I
And
want to reiterate.
how can we think that it doesn't, right?
That's Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Let's go from an untrained mindset right now. As a size four, you had no reason to think, did you? At that
To
point,
think what? To think what?
to think that you had inflammation, that much inflammation everywhere.
I didn't, and it's really interesting. My husband and I have this picture of us, and we're both probably 20 pounds or more lighter, probably more than that. Let's say 30 pounds lighter than we are now, but we looked so puffy. It's unreal when we look at it. Like we looked so in, I don't know what to say other than puffy. And yet I was, two sizes smaller or more and 30 pounds lighter. It's really crazy to think about. But yes, I had definitely had a ton of inflammation.
And would you say refined sugar? No,
Refined?
refined
Refined?
sugar was the culprit.
You know what I think it was more than refined sugar specifically is corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup.
There
Yeah.
you go. It's in so much.
It's in so much. And it's definitely at the top of the list, even above and beyond sugar, which definitely is inflammatory, but the corn syrup does. I won't go into like the explanation unless you want me to, but the corn syrup is like a triple threat in that area for your health and for your egg health. And just briefly, that's the glycosylate because it's concentrated corn, which is heavily sprayed with the glycosylate. So it's concentrated chemicals, the insulin resistance it creates in your body. Yeah, I said three. I think there was another one, but it left my head. So.
That's okay. That's okay. We were just really going to scratch the surface on that anyway, because we don't want to overwhelm anybody, our listeners, with going too deep. You know, Erica, they can contact you for specifics around infertility and inflammation and really new twist on old tools, the tools that are in your back pocket right now that you use for different things with a slightly different variation. You can heal some of your inner trauma and possibly change your story too.
Yeah,
You know,
absolutely.
it's the power is in your hands is what I'm hearing. And those that have been diagnosed with any kind of chronic inflammation, and most of us, let's be honest, we won't know this until we're older, but anything that ends in arthritis, so arthritis, that's still arthritis, itis, bursitis, arthritis, itis means inflammation. So if you have any kind of itis, you know for a fact that you have some sort of inflammation. I would still do the same work. It might not be eggs that you're trying to have an outcome with, but I guarantee you it is something more than what you've got going on now.
And even things like perimenopause and menopause, all of this is basically at the root hormone and endocrine disruptors and inflammation. So whether it's the diet, whether it's the chemicals that we, on our clothes and our personal care products, all of that is affecting, the quality of your health, and it's all completely within your control. Sometimes it takes a little bit more work than you really honestly want to do, as far as like learning how to label read and things like that. But the benefit is, the benefit is huge for your health.
It's huge. And one of the other points I was reading the other day that we don't wrap too much around this, and I'm just again going to scratch surface on this before we leave, but you had mentioned your whole body and your skin is your largest organ. And so many of us will put whatever on our skins. We'll use whatever face wash, whatever body wash, without thinking twice, is it organic? We may turn a blind eye at organic food because maybe it's not worth it, maybe it's not your budget, but I would definitely recommend organic skincare or whatever goes on your skin as much as humanly possible.
So let me just my number one tip for that and for people's budgets and for people's health is laundry products, because we're in our clothes or on our sheets 23 and a half hours a day. And if you're not using clean laundry products, that those chemicals are breaking down against your skin all day long. All day long.
Interesting.
So your laundry products, I mean, I've had people that have come to me that say, I go to bed at 10 and every night at 2 o'clock I wake up. And I said, what kind of laundry products? So your liver, kind of absorbs all of the laundry products on your sheets. Takes about 4 hours, right? When you're taking over the counter medication, it's like 4 to 6 hours, right? Well, there's a reason for that. So it's soaking it in, and bing, your eyes open and you're awake because you've got all these chemicals in your body now, and your liver is maxed out for the time being to process them. So just making that one change, has a huge impact, not only on your reproductive health, but for women's health in general. And I will
And
say,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, keep it simple. Laundry detergent, cut out the softeners and the dryer sheets and all that, those kind of things, because those are the real culprits. And you have to break up with fragrance. Nobody can smell anymore. That's what I have to say. Nobody can smell
No
because there's
perfumes
so,
or.
no, not just that, but you just have to break up with fragrance for a while and figure out, what's clean and things like that. But no fragrance for laundry products. And it's
Yeah.
really hard for people. Like, you can use essential oils on dryer balls and that sort of thing, but for the most part, it's such a huge impact on your health, on your respiratory health too, not just your skin health, but your gut health as well. It just is hugely impactful.
Would you say organic, like go to a store and specifically buy organic, or is there a certain brand that you like to recommend?
Yeah, well, there's a couple good apps out there, and because your viewers and listeners are international, I would look for something with as few chemicals in it as possible, and chemicals that you can that are what am I trying to say? Readable,
Pronounceable.
that you understand what it is, that you can understand what the chemical is that it says. So there's a few companies out there. I don't recommend a particular one for longevity of this listening audience, because they change them honestly all the time. And so it's something that I also have to keep vigilant and teach my clients to keep vigilant, because they'll, introduce one formula and we know they change the formulas all the time. So
Be mindful,
be mindful of it. Yeah, but
yeah.
your laundry products by far are your biggest impact.
Who would have
Who
thought?
knew?
Who knew? I was thinking of that list the other day, and I'm like, I need to go back to organic skincare. I've been off of it for a couple of years, and it's not helping in menopause. I'm sure of it. It's not helping with my healing. I'm sure of it. Right? There's a hiccup there. Is there anything else, Erica, you would love to or feel the need to add?
I just want your listeners to know that just because a doctor tells them that they can't help them, it doesn't mean that they can't get pregnant.
Yeah, and I would like to expand that to, we're talking about infertility, but I want to take that to the next step. And no matter what it is, if the doctor says there's no chance, what do you have to lose by doing your own reflecting on what needs to change from within? Work in tandem with whatever you can find. Do the research, because no one's going to care about your body as much as you are.
100%. Absolutely.
Well, thank you everybody for being with us today. Erica, it was great meeting you and learning so much about your fertility journey. I know there's so much in between that we didn't get to, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And if you guys have any questions, we're going to have all of Erica's contact information in the show notes. My information will be there as well. And I would love to hear how you come across this, whether it's through Erica's audience or through mine or through the podcast or YouTube. Send me a quick message with how you found this information and be sure to follow and subscribe because we are 3 episodes away from recording two episode number 200. So exciting. Bye, everybody. Thank you.